we have to somehow learn how to cross that divide, how to bridge that gap, to be a safe place without compromising for our own young people that we want to preserve from the world, that we want to preserve and teach them about how God designed our bodies and relationships and how he designed us to be together in marriage. So it's very interesting to try to bridge that gap and to try to do it in such a way that really highlights this treasure that God gave us that's worth preserving while also welcoming and loving women and men whose lives have been destroyed by misusing this treasure. Working at Alpha, we come in contact with so many different clients, women from different backgrounds, different socioeconomic backgrounds, racial backgrounds, some women who have never even been introduced to Christianity or to God's love for them, never even had an inkling of a concept of Christ-centered sexuality and how God designed us. So when they come to Alpha, if we treat them like those Pharisees treated that woman, we lose all credibility. We have no opportunity to do what Jesus did and show them grace and love and then call them to a different way of living. Some women who come, they know. They know about this precious thing that they took out of context. But what we have the incredible privilege of doing is saying, but that, Jesus can restore that. He can restore you. The forgiveness, the blood that Jesus shed on the cross that forgives us of our guilt, of our shame, when we lose our tempers, when we speed, it covers this as well. A woman can come to us who has had an abortion, and she can hear that Jesus forgives her. We have a woman who comes to some of our centers, and she has a post-abortive ministry, because she is post-abortive, and she spent 25 years of her life hiding because she couldn't forgive herself and she couldn't understand that God could forgive her for this. But if we truly believe in the blood of Jesus and its power to cleanse and to redeem and to restore, then we have to extend that. We have to extend that to her and help her understand how to accept it. And sometimes it's harder for the Christians. I was raised in a Christian home. My father was a pastor, one of five girls and one boy, my poor little brother. And when I first started reading the statistics in this world, the ones I shared earlier, about 70% of women who have had an abortion identify as a Christian, I was like, this doesn't make sense. I'm like, really? Maybe it was just, are you Christian or Muslim or, you know, something like that? And they just picked, well, I'm a Christian. But then I started thinking about it, and I said, Lord, help me understand what this is saying, what these stats are saying. And there were so many more statistics about abortion in the church and Christianity and women and their thoughts about the church. And so I started thinking. And back when I was in my early 20s, I was dating, and then we got engaged. And my father had passed away, so he wasn't around, but my mom was. And, you know, we were moving, making progress towards wedding planning and all that stuff. And something changed. He became very abusive and forceful. And he decided that being engaged was as good as married, and he was going to have what he wanted, regardless of our agreement on our standards and what I was attempting to stand up for. And I got to the point where I'm like, this is not okay. I need to not be in, this is not a man that I can marry anymore. And so I left the relationship and went through some counseling and things like that. And I never actually had to worry about whether or not I was pregnant, because the way women's bodies work, I knew right away that I wasn't. And so I didn't have that stress. But God brought all of this, and this was over 15 years ago, and the Lord's done much healing in my life. But God brought that back to my mind, and I thought, what would I have done? What would I have done? I was working full-time in Christian ministry, not at Alpha, but at another organization. People knew my family. They knew me and my lifestyle. What if I had become pregnant out of this violence that I experienced? I thought, what would I have done? And that's when I started to understand how those statistics can be true. And when I started to see more clearly how we as a church have earned this reputation for not being welcoming. I don't know what I would have done. I knew that I had not chosen those behaviors. But would other people believe that? Do we extend grace to each other as Christians when those things happen? The family that I grew up in, it was more the attitude of, well, that's just, my goodness, if you fail morally, that's it. And I saw that happen to different people in the church at different times. And I see why people leave. I see why women think an abortion is my only option. So I think maybe that's why I'm so passionate about the way that Jesus interacted with this woman. And the way he really went against the scriptural leaders of that day. The story ends there. It doesn't talk about what happened after that. It doesn't talk about what other people in the temple thought. It doesn't talk about whether the church leaders came and said, okay, Jesus, but we've got teenagers that we're trying to teach about morality here, so you can't very well let her go. They were trying to trap him anyway. We know that was their attitude. But Jesus did something different. He did something transformative in her life. And this is not the only time he did that. Think about the woman at the well. We don't know why she'd been married 5 times and now wasn't even married. Maybe she was barren. In those days, that was reason for divorce. Maybe she wasn't. Maybe it was her choice. We don't know. But we know that Jesus went against the grain to extend love and grace and forgiveness and restoration. That's so powerful. It's not just, well, okay, that's, you know, that's the situation that you find yourself in. Okay, then I guess it's forgivable, you know. You're just trying to put a roof over your head. No, he calls them out and gives them a different way to live. And that's what we do at Alpha. We give them safety, protection, and extend the grace, mercy, and forgiveness of Jesus, and then introduce them to his way of living. There's a young woman at our Schenectady Center, and she came in, her name is Kiana, and she came in and she had a pregnancy test and found out she was pregnant. She's like, there is no way I can have this baby. None. She already had a 2-year-old, and she was in a domestic violence situation. She had just gotten out, and she was working really hard to try to maintain a roof over her head and her daughters. And now she's pregnant again. I'm going to lose my job. I can't do this. I'm trying to create a safe space for myself and my daughter. So our center director prayed with her and talked through a bunch of different options and invited her to come to Bible study and pregnancy classes and things like that, and just said, we're here for you. Whatever you decide, we're here for you. And we do have some resources, and we'll see what we can do to help with the job and the finances and all those things. So she came back once or twice to classes, but then she kind of disappeared. And she came back about a year later with a picture of her daughter. And she said, you know, I can't even imagine life without my daughter now. And you're right, God did provide. And they were safe, and they were, it wasn't easy. But she had her two girls. She's like, I can't even imagine not having the second daughter. Another young woman, her name is Devana, and she comes to our Albany office often, and she volunteers. She serves. She came to Alpha years ago as a client, and she has, I believe, three or four children. Most of her children are older, middle school and high school, and then her youngest is 2.5. And she came to Alpha when she was pregnant with him, and chose life for her son, and has since come back to Alpha as a volunteer, which is really wonderful. We love to have clients serve, because who better to help new clients understand that there's hope than someone who's been there? So that's really exciting. I was talking with her one day, and I said, tell me a little bit about your experience here, because I wasn't at Alpha when she came for the first time. And so she talked about how Alpha helped her through her pregnancy, and then she said, but you know what? I have other kids, and the classes and things that I've gone to here at Alpha, they've helped me be a better mom to my older kids too. She's like, this place has changed my life. And learning about Jesus, I never even heard of him before. And it's just so amazing to see her excitement in how Alpha has impacted her whole life. That's amazing. And she comes and she serves and she talks to the other women. And she shares about what God has done for her. And she's quite bold. She'll call them right out on their behavior, some things that need to change. But she can, because she's been there. And she lives in the neighborhood with them. And they know her. And sometimes she can speak more boldly than we can, because she has so much more credibility with the newer clients, because they already know her. They see her around. Another way that Alpha serves the community. So we provide, you know, that initial crisis with the pregnancy test and the counseling and coming alongside. And we also have pregnancy and childbirth classes, parenting classes, and we serve families. Coming up in November, in a couple weeks here, we'll be partnering with some local churches to give away some turkeys and things like that to help people be able to experience Thanksgiving. And then in December, we are a Toys for Tots location. So we are a giveaway site. So after toys are collected throughout the Capital Region, we will receive toys and we will give them to our families and others in the community. But there's another way that we partner. And the local court systems, family courts, have come to respect our parenting classes. So when they're dealing with child protective services, abusive situations, and they mandate fathers and mothers to take parenting classes to keep or gain custody of their children, they send them to Alpha. Isn't that amazing? Because our parenting classes, we use a number of different curriculums to teach the basics about how to parent infants, toddlers, children, all the way up. So now, the court systems are sending families to us who need to take parenting classes. So there's a young woman in our Cohoes community, and she was involved in a domestic violence situation, and she had two children. And the kids were taken because of the violence that was going on in the home. So she left the home and went to a shelter, and she was working to regain custody of her children, but her time ran out at the shelter. And she made the choice to move back in with her abuser, who at the time was still her husband. And so that effectively ended her opportunity to regain custody of her children. So she was sent to Alpha to kind of begin the process all over again. And so she came for the parenting classes that were mandated, but she also came to know Jesus. And she learned about education and small business. And she learned about her skill set. And she learned that rather than identifying and allowing herself to be identified as a victim of abuse, she had a lot of other things to offer. And she could move out from under that shadow. And she could develop herself and her skill set. And she started a catering business. It's not huge, but it supports her. She's got a roof over her head. And she regained custody of her children. These are the different types of things that we are privileged to participate in and do. Opportunities that the Lord gives us to serve the community. Not everyone who comes to Alpha becomes a Christian. We all came to know Jesus when he opened our hearts and our minds. We plant seeds. Many times we get to see them grow. And sometimes we don't. And sometimes it's a couple years down the road, just like something that happened a month ago. Our counselor, a woman came in, and she stopped by to see our counselor. She said, "Nancy, do you remember me?" And Nancy was like, "Your face is familiar, but I can't. Tell me a little bit more." She said, "Well, I was here 2 years ago for a pregnancy test, and you sent me to get an ultrasound. And hey, look, here's my baby." Sometimes we don't know the outcome, but we do the best that we can to be faithful and to reach out with the love of Jesus and the compassion and the grace and mercy that we all found at the cross and share that. And it's incredible what the Lord does with that. When I share in the service briefly, I will talk a little bit more about how people can get involved. But I mentioned just a minute ago about the hearts and minds of our women and our men. The most important thing that you as believers, as part of the body of Christ, can do is to pray. Pray for Alpha. Pray for wisdom for our staff and our volunteers, because some words trigger women. Some women need a very gentle, loving touch. Others need a much firmer approach. And we rely on the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom to know how to interact with each woman and how to serve them. So pray for our staff and volunteers, and pray for women. Pray for women who are facing this decision to hear about Alpha. We have a strong online presence. When they search a number of different terms in the community, Alpha pops up. Pray for their hearts and their minds to be open to the truth of the gospel and to the opportunity to choose life. I believe it's time for me to end, but I'll be available here for any questions or comments, and then I'll talk a little bit more in the service about how to get connected and involved. Thank you so much for having me.